there. Welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with City Council member Carolyn Franzini. Carolyn, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Leanne.
You guys had a meeting on Monday night here in Morehead, and pretty extensive agenda, but a few things we wanted to chit-chat about. The first thing I wanted to bring up is the Friends of Rodburn Park group. They spoke with the City Council on Monday, and what did they have to say?
Well, Debbie House is now the chairwoman of that group, and I know she's going to do a great job. I'll give you just a couple of bits of information regarding the history of that group. At the Sustainable Morehead meeting last January, when we were brainstorming for ideas of things to do in the community, I came up with the words, oh, why don't we work on Rodburn Hollow Park, because, you know, it's gone downhill over the years. And so everybody said, well, that's a great idea. And of course, you know, once when you say those words, it seems like you're in charge. So I've kind of spearheaded that group for the first 8 months, and we've been meeting regularly. We have adopted a set of bylaws. We have officers. And one of our first big projects was two cleanup days in April, and over 100 people came to clean up the park. And we did things like, you know, power wash the bridges, clean up the limbs, you know, clean up the trail. We did a lot of different things, but I was just overwhelmed with the community support. And so this coming week, Debbie House has spearheaded an environmental education day for fifth graders in the area. So three elementary school groups are going to be there for education day on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so they've done a lot of work to clean up, and they have various education stations for the students, and it's going to be a great thing, and it's really bringing a lot of positive awareness to the area.
I feel like Rodburn Park is kind of that hidden little gem that unless you live here, and you have to live here for a little while before you figure out, oh, there's this really nice place you can go.
Right.
I'm not even going to tell our listeners where it is if they don't know, because because it is wonderful. It's secluded. It's a little bit off the beaten path, but still very close to town, and you can go out and really enjoy the outdoors there.
Right.
And
yes.
It's not full of tons of people, but there's always seems to be a few out there and connected to our trail system as well. Also on the agenda this week, you heard from the Morehead Utility Plant Board. I know that they've been in the news as of late because there's been a rate increase. They're doing some work. Can you update us on the work that's happening with them?
Right. I mean, everybody wants services, and of course, we always want the cheapest water sewage bill we can get. I mean, that's just human nature, and that is the case with many individuals in our community. Holly McGrath, the new plant board manager, has been planning this for some time, has a plan to improve the infrastructure. By that, I mean all the pipes which were laid in the 20s and 30s in our area, and you know what happens to pipes? They rust and get holes, and so then they're not doing their job. So there is going to be a lot of upgrading of the infrastructure in our community, which everybody will appreciate, especially during storm water takeoff times. But nobody ever wants to pay the price. But that is the basic reason why the increase in our water bill.
Right. We have a translator down in Inez, so we've been following the water issues that community's been having. They had a main water pipe burst this week that left the entire county without water for, I guess we're on day seven now. I'm not sure if it's been turned back on or not, but I'm glad that our community hasn't gotten to that point where it's that bad, where people are going days and
right.
weeks without water.
And, you know, we are thinking ahead as a community and the plant board to prevent those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to go into. I know people don't like to see their bills increase, but sometimes it's necessary. You guys had a few different things that you spoke about, and with general business, some things that just had to be kind of wrapped up, but a new thing, I guess we're already thinking about winter, and we got a new salt spreader.
Right. The way the city purchases equipment like that, we get quotes from various companies, and in most cases, we take the cheapest quotes, and so we approve the cheapest quote for that salt spreader, and I think our citizens will appreciate our purchase come winter, because I've heard we're going to have a harsh winter.
Yeah, I cut open some persimmon seeds this last week with my mother, and there's definitely spoons in there, which I guess the old wives' tale is that's going to mean we're going to be shoveling snow.
I've seen lots of squirrels burying lots of nuts. So
that'll be interesting to see if those are true.
Yes.
And as much as I hate to have a tough winter, it'll be definitely a good break soon from this 80 or 90 degree days. It's October. It definitely doesn't feel like winter as of yet, or even fall, really. One thing that you guys talked about, and you did a first reading approval of an ordinance establishing a zone map amendment up there on Viking Drive near where the high school, middle school complex with McBrayer Elementary is. What's happening up on that hill?
Well, I think that zoning just had not been updated for years and years. And most people know the Dollar Tree is going to be built there in that area, right on the as you enter Walmart to the right. And so I think that was part of the reasoning for this update in the zoning. So that was just a perfunctory thing that we do to keep everything legal and square.
I've seen, as I drop the kids off in the morning, I see the construction happening there, and it's good to see things growing.
Yes, it is.
That's wonderful. You guys had a few different resolutions relating to the Moorhead Inspiration Center, and I was surprised to see those because I wasn't aware that the city had anything to do with the Inspiration Center, but tell me.
Well, I can only tell you a little bit because I really don't know. We've been doing that at this time of the year ever since I've been on council, and the city sort of is a pass-through for the money. We have we don't have any legislative power or anything like that, but we do provide I can't think of the exact right word, but you know, the money flows through the city, but it's not city money, and it's just a perfunctory sort of thing that we provide for them.
But that helps that particular center operate.
Yes. Pathways, of course, is the organizing body for the Inspiration Center.
Okay. Well, I wanted to also ask about city construction projects that are happening right now. I know there's a few things that are happening in the works, but did you guys get updated this week on anything that's...
Actually, there's becoming... Many projects are coming to a closure, which will affect occupational tax, which is a benefit to the city, and that tax is... The amount of that tax depends upon how many workers are in our community, and because of all the construction at MSU and the hospital, we've gotten a lot more occupational tax, but now that's going to come to an end as these projects are finished.
What about the city projects, like the splash pad? How's that going?
The splash pad, hopefully... we're expected to have rain the next few days, so the mayor would really like to have a opening of the splash pad maybe at the first of the week. And one of the reasons for having this opening is the city workers have gone to a training on how to close down the water flow and I don't know what all the parts of the splash pad, and in order to close it, they have to open it. So that's also one of the reasons, other than, you know, we want to make sure everything works and, you know, we'd like to introduce it to our community. So this is a very nice addition to our community, and I think the community kids will just love it.
It'll be nice to see that open. You'll have to let us know when you find out the particulars of that so we can make sure our listeners know that they can go down and check it out if it's going to be open for a few days before it gets too cold. That'll be wonderful.
And I would like to add that the splash pad, this is what the community sees as they drive by now, is just the basics of it. There's going to be, it'll be the concrete area will be extended beyond what is presently there, and there will be space for chairs and some awnings. There is a bathroom there. We also hope to build a lazy river, which can be used for swimming around the splash pad. And then there will be a senior center built on that property as well. So this is just really phase one of the plan.
Is there any timetable for when the next phase will begin?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. Still in the works. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this. And it's a crime if we don't.
Natalie Press visits the Mountain Stage this week along with Jill Sobule, Gurf Morlix, Red Wanting Blue, and Todd Burge.
Hi, this is Natalie Press. Join me this week in live performance on Mountain Stage.
Saturday evenings at 6 on Morehead State Public Radio.
Welcome back to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, here with City Council member Carolyn Franzini. Carolyn, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me, Leanne.
Now, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about your experience as a city council member. You are not running for re-election this time, but let's go back to when you first decided why you wanted to run. Tell me, first, how many years have you been serving on this council?
This is my sixth year, my third term.
Okay. And tell me why, in the beginning, why you decided you wanted to run for the seat.
Well, most of our listeners knew Al Baldwin. He was a great guy in our community, and he had been on city council for years. And he was in poor health, and I would see him at the Fuzzy Duck, and we'd always chit-chat about this and that. You know, he was a great conversationalist. And we'd always discuss various things about the city. And one day he said, Carolyn, I think you should run for city council. I mean, I had never even thought about that. I've been very active in the community in numerous organizations and really enjoyed that. But I never thought about being a part of city government. And I didn't even give it a second thought. The next time I saw him, once again, he says, Carolyn, I think you need to run. Have you been thinking about it? What's your platform? And he just kept on and on. And finally, I got to thinking, well, maybe I should. If Al Baldwin thinks I could do it, maybe I could. I mean, I had never done anything like that. I worked for the school system for years, but I hadn't been involved in a government deciding body. And so Al Baldwin convinced me that I should run this course. And it's been very interesting. I've learned a lot. I really knew very little about city government. And there's still a lot to learn. It's a very complicated thing that many of our citizens don't know, and I guess they don't need to know. But it's been very interesting, and I've learned a lot. And I really appreciate my fellow city council people, as well as the mayor, for conducting a very a great city and a great program. So
it is a really great community that we live in, and it's always nice to see when people are willing to volunteer their time and to make sure things are running appropriately. I guess one of the things that I was interested in is, what are some of the projects that you're particularly proud of that you've been a part of as a member of City Council?
Well, in reviewing all my meeting notes for today's program, I was amazed at all the things we have done in the past just couple of years. You know, of course, if you've read the paper, you know we have this new fire engine, which wasn't cheap, cost $1.2 million, but I think for the safety of our community citizens, we have to keep up to date with our fire equipment and that sort of thing. Of course, we've already mentioned the splash pad, which I think our community will really have a great time with. You know, there's been many things. There's just the perfunctory things, like we mentioned, the stormwater management system is being upgraded. The potential new police fire station, we're still working on a lot of the paperwork and all the agreements and that sort of thing for that, so I can't really discuss it. You know, there's been a lot of just things that the community probably isn't aware of. I mean, new lighting, painting, upgrading the stage at the Carl Perkins Center, the TIF program, which also supposedly there is pending news very soon. And that's a tax incentive financing area for the downtown area, which will encourage business and really improve our downtown area. So I'm very excited about that.
Although you've only been on the city council for 6 years, you've been in the community for quite a long time. And what are some of the things that you see that are the changes that have been really positive?
Well, it's hard to know exactly which. Change is always a double-edged sword. Sometimes it's very positive, and sometimes it can be looked with two different ways of thinking. Of course, when I came in 1980, I'm from a farm in Kansas, so I'm used to small towns. But Morehead was unique. We lived near Main Street. As my three children grew up, I would take them in the stroller and we'd walk downtown and get a nickel Coke at Bishop Drug. And it was a real 1950s growing up time. Of course, it's changed a lot. The downtown has changed. It's always hard to know, are all those changes positive? But there's reasons for it. And the evolvement of many of our small towns in the area, as well as across the U.S., certainly illustrates that. You know, the basic point of shopping now is outside of town, which is different than it once was. But I think with the TIF program and some new shops and industry coming in, I think it will change again. And, you know, we just have to be open to that.
Well, I guess I have to ask, why did you decide that you didn't want to run for re-election?
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not getting younger. I love to travel, and, you know, not often, but on occasion, we'll have 3 to 4 meetings a month, and I try to make every meeting because that's my responsibility, but I would like to travel a little bit more. I have 5 grandsons in Lexington, so I spend at least 1 day a week there with them. I would just like a little bit more freedom, and as I said before, I'm involved in several community organizations, but because I am an elected official for city council, I try to never miss a city council meeting. So I just feel I would like a little more freedom, and there's some wonderful people running. So I feel I'm leaving it in good hands. I mean, we have a great city council, I think. Mm-hmm. I think everybody really takes it very seriously and does their job, which mm-hmm. I'm very thankful for.
Mm-hmm. And the role of city council is just to be good stewards right. of taxpayer money and to do things that for the betterment of the community. Now, with that in mind, is there anything particular that you'd really like to see happen now that you're on your way out the door? Is there something that you're like, man, I wish we could have achieved something?
Well, I am just anxious for the completion of some of these programs, like the TIF initiative. I think if that works, I will just be so proud that I was a part of the initiation of that. I mean, not that it was my idea. I don't really know that kind of about that sort of thing, but I voted for it. And I think that will just be an amazing boost to Morehead's economy and our appearance, just everything. So I think people will be very proud if that all works out. And there's a chance it is. I hear there's news pending. So I'm
excited
about
that. We'll hear about that soon.
Yes, I hope so too.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see even a little more change coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, I guess, with my family, we have a play a game. What if you won the lottery, what would you do? And that's always something fun that we bat around. But if you could have the full support of the city council to push through a project or an idea for the betterment of Morehead, what do you think it would be?
Well, I would like to see Main Street a little more vibrant. I mean, the Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck, the new Shake Shop across the street from them, and other new businesses in the area are really encouraging a new feel to downtown. And so when the TIF project, if it comes to fruition and everything works with that, I think we will see a new downtown with a new face, and I think people will, there'll be more involvement mm-hmm. with the community in the downtown area. I would just like to see our downtown, you know, have a little more vibrancy.
Mm-hmm. Now we're almost to the holiday season. I think the beginning of October is when you need to start celebrating Halloween, but, you know, that's just me. But we have Halloween, we have Thanksgiving, we have Christmas coming up. What are some, are there any events that are coming up here in Morehead that you're excited about?
Well, I think the Homecoming Parade, which I believe is this Saturday.
It's next Saturday.
Thank you.
The 20th.
I have it on my calendar. And then, of course, Hometown Holidays, I think, is a wonderful event that really brings the whole community to town and lots of interaction. You get to see people you haven't seen before And it's just such a beautiful time. Tony Pence does a great job with Hometown Holidays, and I think our whole community should be very proud of that event.
Mm-hmm. It is a wonderful, wonderful time for families to get downtown and see a lot of great music mm-hmm. and see the other members of the community. It's one of my favorite events that we have here.
It is. It's a real collaboration of our community, not just in terms of all the work that it takes to put that together, but the social life. You know, just feeling pride in your community, because every community doesn't have that kind of an event.
You're right. They don't. I think people don't really understand how fortunate we are.
That's right.
Sometimes.
Unless you've lived other places, you don't have anything to compare it to. So Morehead's a great place to live in many ways. There are so many opportunities to be involved with community events, the Ollie program, which offers classes for seniors. I'm involved in that. And that's just a wonderful offering. And I was at one of those classes yesterday, and the person who was leading the discussion said, he's not from here, but he said one thing he was so impressed about when he came to Morehead, so many university employees stayed here upon retirement. And I thought, you know, that's a real measure of people's liking this community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like there's some people who come into Morehead, especially through the university or the hospital, and it's you love it or you leave it. You come in and you want to stay for forever, mm-hmm. or you get out so fast you don't even get a chance to really experience what it has to offer.
Yes, and you know, there's some great people here, and it's a great place to live. Obviously, my husband has retired, and I've retired, but we're here. So, mm-hmm.
And it's good to see you here.
Well, thank
you. I do enjoy running into you downtown when we get to see each other. And I'm glad we had the opportunity to get to know each other through City Council and through your show here on Morehead State Public Radio. You're still going to be doing said show?
I am.
Yes. I know we have a lot of fans of Time for Tales, which is a great program that's here on the weekends. And actually, speaking of stories, we got just a couple more minutes left here on the show. I'd love to hear an update on how the Storytelling Festival went. We had you on the show to talk about it right before it happened, but now that it's passed, tell me what happened with that event.
The Storytelling Festival was a tremendous success. Many of our listeners may not know, but Thursday is just for school students from the larger area. School groups come all the way from Lexington and other areas. We had over 30 schools represented. So Thursday and Friday are for school students. Friday and Saturday are for the public. So the public are there when the school kids are there on Friday. We don't really have a good way to measure exactly how many members of the public were there, but we have 1,000 chairs in the big tent, and almost every chair was taken on the Friday night and Saturday night program. So it was a huge success. We had 7 nationally known tellers who come from all over the country. One of our tellers this year even came from Northern Ireland. I feel it was a great success. I had many, many, many very positive comments by the listeners, and that's why you're doing it. You know, mm-hmm. if the listeners aren't coming, it's not worth doing. But we have tremendous support. People came from, if you went, walked down the parking lot and checked out the states represented by license plates, people were there from Indiana, Texas, all over. So it's truly it's not just a regional event. It's a national event, and mm-hmm. we are known as one of the best storytelling events in the country. So tellers always want to come, and we're already starting to plan for next year. So I'll tell you more about that later.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a big show of how popular the event is when you had bad weather and not great cooperating water levels. I know we had some rain and some mud to contend with this year, and we still had a whole lot of people who were
able
to attend.
Yeah, I'm always concerned because, you know, you are a victim of the weather, mm-hmm. but that's why we have those tents. So
yeah.
It worked out.
It was a wonderful festival, and I was really glad to see so many people come out. And although I will be sad to see you leave the city council, I am very glad that we got the opportunity to talk a little bit about your time there, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Leanne. I appreciate being here.
And that's all the time we have left for today here on Open Mic. We'll see you next Friday.